All right, would you turn, please, in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. In the New Testament, the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Beginning with verse number 1, reading down through verse number 16. And there is also, as was the truth last Sunday, a joint text with this message today. And that joint text is found in Romans 6, verse 4. So if you'll have that noted in your Bible in a moment, we'll get to that one. But right now in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And then the one reference I mentioned in Romans 6, verse number 4. Romans 6, verse number 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. With special emphasis on the last part of that verse, even so we should also walk in newness of life. And I want to speak on the subject of learning how to walk. Learning how to walk. The book of Ephesians is basically about two things: learning and walking. Learning and walking. In chapters 1, 2, and 3, the emphasis is learning. This means knowing what to believe and why to believe it. God has not left it for us to discover what we think is truth. We can know what is truth because thy word is truth. And if you want to know what to believe, line up your beliefs with the teachings of the word of God. Don't ever make the mistake of trying to conform the word of God to what you believe and what you teach, or to try and take scripture to fit in with certain ideas that you might have. The scripture does not bend and bow to us. We bend and bow to the scriptures. They teach us how we should learn and what we should believe and why we should believe it. That's chapters 1, 2, and 3. However, chapters 4, 5, and 6 emphasize walking. Walking. This means not just knowing what we believe, but knowing how to behave. How to put what we know into practice on a day-by-day basis. It deals with one's conduct. Now, everybody has conduct of some shape, form, or fashion. Some folk have good conduct. Some not so good conduct. Paul goes into detail about this business of walking. Walking. Ordering one's character. Ordering one's conduct. How one conducts his life. How do you behave as a child of God? For instance, he tells us in Ephesians 4:17 that we're not to walk as other Gentiles. Do you see that? This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not like other Gentiles walk. The emphasis is on the word walk. He goes ahead by saying we're to walk in good works. Do you remember in chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse number 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What does the them refer to? Good works. We should walk in good works. He tells us in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, verse number 1, that we're to walk in a worthy manner. Notice the rendering of that verse. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. He tells us in chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 2, we're to walk in love. The scripture says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He tells us in the 8th verse of chapter 5, we're to walk in light. Notice the scripture. You who were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord, walk as children of light. And he tells us in verse number 15, we are to walk circumspectly. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. When one is born into this world as a baby, and that's about the only way you're born into this world, as a baby, babies must learn how to eat. They must learn how to talk. They must learn how to walk. Their walk should not be on their toes. Had a man one time in our high school many, many years ago, and he walked always on his toes. Here's a high school student, probably 16, 17 years of age, walking on his toes. He did it consistently. Wherever you saw him walking, he would always be walking on his toes. Somebody needed to tell him when he's a little baby, don't walk on your toes. You have to learn how to walk, you see. We're not to be pigeon-toed. I am. And I have one special child in my family who am also. And she got it from her daddy. And I'm not sure if I don't have maybe a grandchild or two that have that tendency to swerve that foot in just a little bit. Don't, you have to learn how to walk. Don't be slew-footed. Don't walk with your feet like a duck's feet. Learn how to walk. We're not to drag our feet when we walk. We're to pick them up and plant them. We're not to walk too fast. If we do, we leave everybody else. We're not to walk too slowly. If we do, we'll get run over by everybody else. Walking is very important. It's how you get from here to there. And on a physical level, we are taught how to walk. Now, when one is born again, he's going to have to be taught how to walk. You know why? Because he's never walked before. Not spiritually. Not as a Christian. He's never walked before, so he's going to have to learn how to walk spiritually. That's the reason Paul used this word in the book of Romans, walk in newness of life. You've been walking in the old life. The Lord has saved you. You've been born again. You're a Christian. So learn how to walk. This is what our text, I believe, is about in Ephesians chapter 5. It's all about how we should live as Christians, how we should conduct our lives, and how we should walk. I probably spoiled you last week when I gave you only a 2-point sermon. This morning I will spoil you even more so by giving you a 1-point sermon. And that 1 point is this. There are 11... See, I didn't tell you there's some sub-points, did I? There are 11 lessons given us to teach us how to walk in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. Let's look at them. Lesson number 1, he speaks of an obedient walk. An obedient walk. Be ye therefore followers of God. You watch God walk. You watch Christ walk, and you walk like he walked. You see, this word followers is a Greek word, mimentes, from which we get our word to mimic. When you mimic someone, you impersonate them. You do what they're doing. It is to walk like God walked. I never cease to be amazed when Mama Duck starts down the path and she's got a bunch of little ducklings. They don't just go everywhere. It almost like their uniform, they line up right behind Mama. And where Mama goes, that's where the ducks go. Because they are emulating her. She sets the stage. She sets the pace. And they follow along. Paul tells us here, we are to be followers of God, not followers of the world, not followers of our peers, not followers of what tickles our fancy, but God's people ought to be followers of God. May I ask you a question? Do you want your children to walk like you? Now, you probably ought to think about that before you answer it. Are you proud of the way your children behave when they behave like you behave? Are you proud of how your children walk when they walk like you walk? That's what they do. Children imitate their parents. They do many times what they do because this is what they've been programmed to do and taught to do and demonstrated to do by their parents. It is an obedient walk. When Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? His walk changed on the road to Damascus. He started going a different way. He started walking in a different manner. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. You observe him. You do what he does. You walk as Christ walked. You react as Christ reacts. And your walk will be approved, I believe, by God. In Leviticus 11:44, be ye holy, God says, for I am holy. God walks in a holy fashion. We're to walk in a holy fashion. Even our Lord said to some ignorant fishermen, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Little did they realize the significance of that. Some of them were fishers and had been fishing for a living for many years, and nobody could teach them how to fish because they really knew what it was all about. And they were thinking in terms, he's going to show us how to catch the big ones. But what the Lord was speaking about was not fishing for fish, but fishing for men. And they begin to observe in the life of Jesus Christ, he never held a fishing pole. But he had a heart that was broken and filled with love and compassion for sinners. And all of a sudden he began to reach sinners, and he said to his church, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. That's being obedient. We're to walk in an obedient way. Lesson number two, a loving walk. A loving walk. The scripture says, walk in love as Christ hath loved us. He gives us the measure. How can I know I'm walking in love? Because we walk as Christ has loved us. Raises a very important question. How did Christ love us? If we're to walk as Christ loved us, how did Christ love us? He loved us while we were yet sinners. I believe we should take a stand against all sin. I think we should take a stand against all forms of darkness. But my dear friends, we cannot help but have mercy and compassion on those who've never come to hear the gospel and they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of being so quick to denounce them, we ought to be praying for their salvation, that they too might come to know Christ as Savior, to approach them lovingly. It is a loving walk. While we were yet sinners, he loved us. And we're to love people, even though they may be sinners, we're to love them. By giving himself for us, we're to give ourselves for other people. And by forgiving us of all of our sins, it is a loving walk. Simon Peter wanted to put a little legalism on that statement. So he asked the Lord, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? I mean, I want you to tell me, Lord, I've got my pencil and paper ready here. How many times do I really have to forgive him before I can rise up and cut him to pieces with my sword? I want to know how many times I have to put up with him. You can read about that in Matthew chapter number 18, verses 21 through 22, where the scripture says this, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In Hebrew numerics, the number seven is a completed number. And Jesus wasn't saying you need to forgive him 490 times or 500 times. He's saying your forgiveness must be a complete forgiveness. You're to walk in love. It must be a loving walk. You say, well, you don't know what people do against me from time to time. You don't know how they've talked about me. You don't know some of the things they've said about me. Think of what you were before the Lord saved you, my dear friend. We're to love as he has loved us. It is not only a loving walk, but lesson number three, it is a clean walk. In verses 3-5, the scripture says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Everybody else may be doing it, but God's people don't do it. Don't let it be named once. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting. And this jesting is taken in a context of lewd joking. It says they're not convenient, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So we should maintain a clean walk. Have you ever noticed what sin he begins this list with? But fornication. That's not at the top of the list by accident. That's at the top of the list on purpose. The Greek word there translated fornication is porneia. Porneia, from which we get our word pornography. Our world is full of immorality. I believe that fornication, now listen to your pastor, I believe that fornication is the number one sin that's being committed today. I believe it is being committed outside of the church. I believe it's being committed inside of the church. And we have accepted the world's standards so that it doesn't offend us anymore. We just simply said, oh, well, he loved her. Or they were really in love. The word is L-U-S-T, lust. And there's a difference between lust and love. I don't think I've ever seen a time when illicit sex and things of that nature are so graphically presented in every area of our life as it is today. It is displayed in books. It is displayed in magazines. You don't even have to open the cover. Look on the cover. This is how you sell magazines. It is filled with advertisements. It is in the movies. It is on the internet. And you need to be very, very careful about your kids when they're having complete liberty and freedom to use the internet facilities to watch anything they want. Friends, it left the garbage state a long time ago. Fornication, the number one sin. It is in the fashions of dress. It is in speech. And it goes on and on and on. You can't even sell a set of tires without having a nude woman in one of those tires. I was following an 18-wheeler not long ago, and honest to goodness, the mud flaps had that very thing conveyed in it. Everywhere you can't even buy a package of Kool-Aid without running into sex. 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 And it goes on and on and on. God is saying something to me today. And God is saying something to you today. That when we walk as God's people, we ought to have a clean walk. The amens are stifling. A clean walk. Not only a clean walk, but lesson number four, a sure walk. A sure walk. Verses 6 and 7. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Vain words are empty words. They are words that may sound pleasant to the ears, but they have no truth in them. comes from listening to bad advice, comes to deceptive preaching. What should we do when we run into vain words, my dear friends? Number one, don't listen to them. Don't be entertained by them. And don't be influenced by them. And second of all, don't fellowship with them. We walk in a sure way. We know who has saved us. We know where we're headed, and we're going to walk in a sure fashion. Not on slippery slopes out here, but we've got a steady footing in the Word of God, and we're going to walk in a sure way. We know what we're doing. God has taught us His way. We're to walk in it. Walk in it. Lesson number 5, an enlightened walk. Look at verse number 8. You were sometimes darkness. That means before the Lord saved us, we all lived in darkness. We were children of darkness. Before we came to know Him who said, I am the light of the world. He that walketh in me or followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. It's an enlightened walk. Psalm 119, verse 105. It's a good verse to quote. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The man who enjoys darkness does not need a light, nor does he appreciate a light. If he loves to walk in darkness, he loves for it to be dark. In Psalm 119, verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight, an enlightened walk. Dear friends, we should read our Bibles every day and follow the instructions given us of how to walk. And one of those walks is an enlightened walk. Lesson number 6. A fruitful walk. Verse number 9 says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. There are two kinds of fruit. Number one, there's the works of the flesh, or the fruit of the flesh, and then there's the fruit of the Spirit. No one could improve on how Paul presented that. In Galatians chapter number 5, verses 16 and following. Galatians 5, 16 and following. Paul says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. That word walk. Conduct your life in the Spirit. Govern your behavior in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. The Spirit against the flesh, these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And now he talks about the works of the flesh. You want to know what the fruit of the flesh is? Here it comes. And guess what the first one mentioned is? Isn't it strange? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery. And fornication, and uncleanness, and lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We're not to walk in those things, my dear friends. That's the wrong kind of fruit. Here's the right kind of fruit, but the fruit of the Spirit. See? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. No wonder Paul told the Ephesians, don't walk as other Gentiles walk. The world walks one way. God's people are not to walk like the world. We are to walk as he is outlining it for us here in the fifth chapter of Ephesians. It is a fruitful walk. Lesson number 7, a proven walk. A proven walk. Look at verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. How can I know that the walk that is given to us here is a proven walk? You see, Christianity works. It may not look like it's working, but you follow it carefully day after day, month after month, year after year, and finally you begin to see, you know what? Christianity works. You look at the world, and the world has a little bit of excitement with it, and the world has a pretty good image, a pretty good picture about it. But if you constantly study it day after day, month after month, year after year, you find out the wages of sin is death. Can we enjoy it? You better believe it, but you're going to die. A proven walk. Christianity works. The world is doomed for failure. Christians are often looked upon as being narrow and fanatical. You stupid, dumb Christians, why don't you wake up and enjoy life? While men of the world are heralded as great. Oh, look how much he can drink. Look how much sin he can commit. Look what his records are. What a lie. Nero was considered the greatest leader of the Roman Empire. You cannot study Roman history without running into Nero. He was esteemed. He was exalted. He was honored. Paul, on the other hand, was considered a waste and a failure. If anybody should have succeeded in the ways of the world, Paul should. Look how educated he was. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He was an intelligent individual. And guess what happened? He wasted it all on this man, Jesus Christ, and they cut his head off at the end. But isn't it strange? Today, my dear friends, men name their sons Paul, and they name their dogs Nero. The Bible says in Romans 12, 1 through 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a proven walk. It is a separated walk. In verses 11 through 13, that's lesson number 8, a separated walk. The Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. A separated walk. I'm not so sure, but what it's a slap in the face when someone says, well, he's a joiner. He just joins in everybody, joins in with everything, does what everybody else is doing. He's a joiner. On the contrary, I think maybe a great compliment for a Christian is he's a separator. He comes out from among them and is separate. Is that scriptural? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 14 through 17. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You have all kinds of yokes today. We could say a little bit about partnerships. Sir, if you are a Christian, I believe you should give a lot of consideration before going into a business relationship with an unsaved person, because his ideas are not going to be like your ideas. And his goals are not going to be what your goals are. I think you make a big mistake if you join in marriage with an unbeliever as a believer. You say, well, you just don't understand. We love each other. I've watched that over the years. It's amazing how that fizzles out pretty quick when she doesn't get her way. We don't love as much as we thought we did. One morning, Christian, you're going to get up and say, well, let's go to church. And your spouse will say, nothing doing. What do you go to church for? And then you're going to have to make a decision. Do you please the Lord by going anyway, or do you stay with your spouse and please them? I got an answer for that. See me after church and I'll tell you. Come out from among them. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? You're the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I'll be their God and they'll be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Invariably, and I've had this posed to me many, many times in the ministry that God has given me, somebody will say, Brother Cozart, it's the most difficult thing in the world for me to break fellowship with some of my friends. Now, they don't go to church and they don't profess to be Christian, but they're my friends and it's kind of hard. I feel bad about breaking fellowship with them. What should I do? Don't ever ask the preacher what you should do. I said, what you should do is this. You start living for God. You start living like a Christian ought to live. And I promise you, you don't have to worry about you giving them up. They'll give you up. A separated walk. Let your closest associates and friends be those who love God and go to church. Lesson number 9. A lively walk. Verse 14. Wherefore he saith, oh, I love this one. It's a good Baptist verse. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Isn't it amazing how excited people can get at a ball game? I mean, really and truly, it turns into murder after a while. Kill him! Kill him! And the cheerleaders sometimes don't even have to lead the cheers. Everybody's into it. Everybody's screaming. Everybody's waving their hand. It's a lively place to be. And you come to church and it's as dead as a funeral home. Ought not to be that way. One guy said to some other guys, I tell you what, let's go down to the church real quick. The other said, go to the church. We don't ever go to the church. He said, but it's on fire. And they got in their cars and they went down and watched the church burn. And I happened to think, you know, if Grace Baptist Church in Tyler would ever get on fire, they'd be coming here to watch us burn. Lively. Lively. If we get excited over the things of the world, and there are some things it's perfectly all right to show emotion over, but the point being, if those things excite us, how much more should the things of God excite us? Verse number 10. Pardon me, lesson number 10. An accurate walk. An accurate walk. Verse 15. See ye then that you walk circumspectly. I asked myself the question, Dan, have you been walking circumspectly lately? And I usually answer that by saying, Dan, what is circumspectly? Circumspectly. And I can really illustrate it better than I can define it. It's like a cat that's walking on top of a wooden fence to get from this point to that point. And the cat's walking on that fence, the top of that fence. However, on this side of the fence in the yard is a pit bulldog. And on the other side of the fence is a German shepherd. That cat is walking circumspectly, very careful, doesn't want to fall. Be careful how you walk, circumspectly. And finally, the 11th one is found in verse 16. It is a continual walk. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're to keep walking. We're not to slow down. And we must not quit. We must not become so discouraged that we say, well, I'm just going to throw it in. I can't go any further. No, no. You keep walking. I don't care what you're having to face today, whether it's something in your family, whether it's something in your church, whether it's something at your job, whatever it might be. Don't let it stop you from walking in the Lord. Keep walking continually, continually, continually. It was said of William Carey, Brother Rodney has a heart for missions, and missionaries excite me. I like to read about missionaries, especially those of days gone by. William Carey was a good missionary. You know, they gave him a nickname, and his nickname was the Plodder. P-L-O-D-D-E-R. They called Carey the Plodder. You know why? Because he continued to plod on and on and on. When the people wouldn't listen to him, he just kept plodding and kept plodding and kept plodding. It is a continual, continual walk. I believe if we'll take these 11 lessons seriously, we might improve our Christian walk. Mine needs improving. Does yours? Has God spoken to you today? I hope it hasn't been an intense bore for you to be here. I hope you've learned something. I hope you've received a challenge today that when you leave this place, you'll say, God, help me to improve my walk for your cause and for your glory. Shall we pray?